League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, here we go. Final hour of the show. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Nick's in for Barry. Tyler's in for Nick. Don't worry about following it all. It's Nick, Joel, Tyler. Third hour of the show. Appreciate you on a Monday and every day being a suspect. As we roll on, talked Astros, talked Rockets. Big story of the weekend. I don't know if you guys are Derby guys or not, but for the first time in the history of the race, the winner was disqualified.
Yeah.
Maximum security.
Yep, yeah. That's his name.
Gone after winning it. And Country House, after a 22-minute review, was declared the winner because they said Maximum Security interfered with several horses when he drifted out from the rail on the final turn. Now, this morning on the Today Show, the people responsible for Maximum Security and the owner, Gary West, said that they plan to appeal. However, the Kentucky Derby and the people that are behind the Kentucky Derby have no appeal process, so it seems like it's going to be an uphill battle that probably won't reverse the outcome. But it did create for some pretty dramatic moments.
Yeah, so for those of you don't know, for those of you who don't necessarily keep up, winning the Triple Crown is kind of a big deal. So if your horse wins the Kentucky Derby, the Preakness Stakes, and the Belmont Stakes, you've won the Triple Crown. And a part of the reason why this is such a big deal, this particular horse, Maximum Security, has been winning these races by like lengths, like just absolutely killing these horses. And another thing is, all the way up until there was a Triple Crown winner in 1978, but then after that, it went nearly 30 years before, actually over 30 years before anybody won another Triple Crown. American Pharoah won it in 2015, Justify won it in 2018, and there was every indication, or at least several indications, that Maximum Security would win it now. Now, the rule as it states, I saw it on the website, the exact rule as it off the rule book is basically you can't interfere or intimidate another horse while you're racing. Mm-hmm. And that's eventually what was reviewed and eventually cost Maximum Security the win. And to my understanding, if you bet on Country House, who was a 65-1 yes, long shot because Maximum Security was doing such an amazing job in these races, you know, it just, someone made a lot of money. Very few people made a lot of money, but someone made a lot of money. I saw some tickets. Someone bet like, I want to say 20 or 30 bucks.
Some lady.
And the payout was like 12 grand.
On
it was
a whim,
ridiculous.
Put 10 bucks on it and won 650 bucks. I mean, that's not like a massive amount, but that's a pretty good win for someone just having some fun putting 10 down.
So I got a funny story about that. On Saturday, I was hanging out with Cody. We were doing that thing where he was trying to introduce me to one of his friends.
Yes, yes.
So we're out. We stop by this place, Pico's, on Richmond and Kirby. They got like a Cinco de Mayo parking lot party thing going on. And we realized that we completely missed the Kentucky Derby. So we went inside of the bar and we're asking people like, what happened? What happened? And we asked this one chick, she's wearing a hat, like a Derby hat. And she goes, oh, it went to overtime. And we both look at each other like, what?
That's fantastic.
How can a horse race go to overtime? And then we eventually get the whole story where they went to review and then they did all that. So we're like, oh, okay, I guess kind of is like overtime in a horse race, but yeah.
Yeah, that's funny. Yeah.
She was laughing about that.
Yeah, but the rule as it states, cited from the section of the rules that call for a disqualification. Quote, a leading horse or any other horse in a race swerves or is ridden to either side so as to interfere with, intimidate, or impede any other horse or jockey. That calls for a disqualification. And that's why they reviewed it, I guess, for whatever the 20 some odd minutes that you were talking about. And
I've heard some experts, like on ESPN this morning, say that it was the right call and it should have been made. I know that people on SportsMap and otherwise have said that it shouldn't have been made.
So a lot of the people I feel like are saying that it should not have been made. I feel like they do agree that it is a part of the rules. They just feel like they should have let it go. It was like a no call is what I felt like. Because I was talking to Jerry Bowe about it. I saw Fred Fowler tweet about it. And I feel like a lot of the people who are kind of in tune with horse racing, they just feel like that call should have been let go. Because regardless of what that was, I don't know if it was necessarily intentional, but it would not have prevented the second, was it Country what? Country House? From winning the race. He wasn't going to win that race anyway. And that's the reason why people who are in tune to horse racing believe that Maximum Security should have still gotten the W. It's one of those deals. Do you go by the rules or do you let it go? I feel like in every sport, you feel like there's certain times there's a no call, right? Where you let things go. You have to be, I don't know how horse, you know, people who really follow this sport feel about it, but that's what I feel like.
That's what I'd like to know. And I'd like to know how much the weather plays into this too, because obviously on a dry track, the horses probably aren't going to slide. They're not going to slip, which again, you could say might have something to do with a horse veering out of its lane a little bit. But I would wonder, again, not being a horse racing aficionado, but noticing obviously the weather was awful, of how much the conditions weather-wise played into that.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I kind of wanted to ask Fred that. I think that's a great question, and I think whether or not the people that feel like Maximum Security won or should have won, do you think he should have won because the rules say he should have won, or do you think they should have just let that go, whether it was a part of the rules or not? And I don't know what the consensus is, but I feel like that's what I've gathered from Twitter and from reading online.
It's interesting because someone just texted us, if you're going to let that go, then you need to let the whole Saints-Rams game all over again. Well, then you're going to get into the whole Warriors-Rockets and all the foul calls in that game, too. I don't know. I can't speak. I'm not a horse racing guy. I can't tell you how close to being accurate that is, but I do know that obviously we got into a whole bunch of review and controversy with the Rams-Saints and with Rockets-Warriors. So, I mean, I'll give you that if that's a point you want to make, simply because I'm not into horse racing like that. It's just a shame that such a prestigious big event ends up like that and you got to wait 22 minutes. I'm sure NBC loved it because in their coverage, which was like 8 hours for one race.
I mean, the basketball example I would give, just to kind of give you like a local angle. Remember when James Harden got called for all those fouls late in the regular season game against the Celtics because he kept pushing off on the inbound pass?
Yeah, and Marcus Smart.
Yeah. Okay. How many times does he push somebody off on an inbounds pass? Like all the time. And how many times do they let it go? Like almost all the time. But for whatever reason, that one game, they wouldn't let it go and it cost the Rockets the game. Should they have called it or should they? Is it part of the rule book? Yes. Should they have let it go? I don't know. I mean, as a basketball fan, me, I feel like they should have let it go. I'm not in tune with horse racing, but I feel like there's always room for a no call.
This then adds to what has been a very inconspicuously bad year for all of officiating. Because now you got it in horse racing. We had it in the NFL playoffs.
It's been in boxing for years.
Had it in boxing forever. All the time with the judges and as much as the officiating, right? Got it in basketball now. And in every game, refs, you suck, is as big a freaking cheer as you're going to hear as charge and let's go, whoever the home team is. Every single game I watch in the NBA playoffs, it's a ref you suck game. So the officials are just, they've got, whether it's true or not, it just feels like for the last year or so, they just continue to get worse.
Yeah. And the thing that sucks for him is, like you mentioned before, there's not really a protocol in place for like an appeals process for the Kentucky Commission. So it's probably going to be an uphill battle for a horse that probably was going to win the Triple Crown for what, the third time in what, 30-something years.
And you can't,
that's still
say
something
that,
to brag about.
You could say he was favored to win the Triple Crown, but there were still two more races that he had to
Fair
race.
Enough, but if you look at the races, Maximum Security was killing these fools. Yeah. Like, it was not even close. Like, he was just destroying everybody. So if I was the owner of this horse, I would be upset too. I feel like.
Because you know that the owners are raking in a lot of coins. Sure. Especially with every major race that they win. Yeah. All right. We can continue to roll on. Now, Tyler, you brought up a little something when getting into that story and how you found out about the race that inquiring minds out there as well, probably with me, want to know. Because we talked about this on Friday, and I said it might have ramifications for my man Nick. So I was very deeply concerned about how this would go. I did not know that it was going to happen so soon, but now I'm very much intrigued by how the Cody setup went for you. So we're going to get to that next. I want to hear an update on how that all went down and your thoughts. So obviously Cody's not going to chime in because he's not here. All right, we're going to continue to roll on. It's the final hour of The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
This is Nolan Ryan. You're listening to Houston's best sports talk, ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Welcome back to The Usual Suspects, final hour of the show. We take you till 4. Blitz takes you till 7. Obviously, we were talking Kentucky Derby before the break. Fred, the horse racing expert, is going to sure have plenty to say on this when the Blitz get going at 4 o'clock.
Because he was
sure
tweeting away. He seemed like he was pretty upset about the situation. So he strikes me as a guy that was put in the category of, yeah, maybe it was a part of the rules, but you should have let that go. I could be wrong. I don't want to speak for Fred, but I really want to. I'm going to at least ask him when he comes in.
I think one of the interesting things that Fred said was, I don't know if he tweeted this, but I know that he had mentioned this, I think, in either a tweet and or something on SportsMap, but he said he benefited from it.
Yeah, I was about to say that. And he, I did see that he tweeted something like that. Like, he, even though the call
as in the
helped
owner
him
of,
out.
He didn't like that
from
they
a betting
called
perspective,
it, even though it helped him from a financial gain standpoint for betting on it, yeah. Country House.
Oh, it helped Fred.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
And so people were kind of trying to get on him, and he's like, look, the actual decision helped me.
Right.
But even that's why it's even more important to realize I don't think it was the right move.
Yeah, I really want to ask Fred about that. I think that's an interesting story,
well,
for sure.
With the passion that you want to ask Fred about that, I want to ask Tyler about what happened on this deal. Because if you missed it on Friday, on remote, on location, Tyler was and Cody were letting us know that Cody had done a little scouting for Tyler and found a young lady that he thought was down Tyler's alley, so to speak. So Tyler confirmed that she had a lot of the characteristics that he would be interested in. I didn't know that the potential meeting was going to take place so quickly, but I had made sure to let Cody know, look, if this goes wrong, that's on you, bro. It's a bad look. But if it goes well, I want Nick Sciarra to be at the top of the list because I want Nick to get the chick with, let me just say, positive characteristics.
I just want to get into the characteristics that you say Tyler was looking for. You're saying she possessed a lot of the characteristics that Tyler was looking for? Like, how do you know
Tyler,
that?
Because Tyler told me. Did you not tell me this, Tyler?
I did tell you that.
I want to know those characteristics.
Well, then talk to Tyler. I'm here.
I mean, maybe I can show you off air, possibly.
Are you talking about assets, so to speak,
yeah.
In Daryl Morey terms?
Yeah.
Assets. Okay.
That's the juicy details that everybody else wants to know. I want to know for sure, and I'll
so
gladly...
So,
let
me just come right out and say, was she hot?
She was cute, yeah.
See, I don't like that. If I ask if she's hot and you say she's cute, then I don't think she's hot. That's
how do you know?
Well, I don't know if that's she's listening true. Or not.
See? Okay. See, well, assume she has a real job. Does she do know what she
territory.
Does?
Really?
No, she's a. I think she's a social worker. So
she's not a case right not now.
The good thing about our now. Time slot is a lot of people are working. Now, we do have a bunch of listeners that multitask and they're like sitting at their desk and listening to the right. suspects at the same time. But she's probably not.
Tyler,
listening.
Did you communicate with her to know on a frequent enough basis after the meeting to let her know what you might be doing today, that you might be on air producing a show?
I did not, because that
so
was,
then you're okay.
Yeah.
So she would think that Nick was you and that Cody was Nick, and it would be okay. So you can feel free Maybe. To speak freely.
I mean, it went well.
You
we met up at Chewy's and had a couple rounds of margaritas.
Okay.
And then we decided to go to that parking lot party thing at Pico's, and we sat there, drank a few drinks, and chatted it up.
Okay. Overall, the night in there. Did it meet your expectations, exceed them, or fall short?
I don't know that I had any expectations going into that.
Okay.
So I would say that it exceeded my expectations. Okay.
So Cody did well.
Cody did well. Yeah.
Okay.
That's pretty cool. That he, I mean, it worked out because usually blind, like I would be terrified because this was a blind date, wasn't it?
Pretty much, yeah. So I don't know necessarily like blind, like blind.
Like
date
you Facebook stalked her, but you knew like, what she looked
just
like.
Us two. I actually did not even do that. I didn't even know her last name until after. The,
okay.
You didn't stalk her until after you met her.
I'd seen pictures though.
Right, you've seen pictures, yeah. But you didn't full blown stalk her until you knew her full name.
Well. I still haven't done that yet.
Well, there's time.
Yeah.
Okay. So, see, I guess in terms of, I would not be a good host in the dating game if I did not say, do you see you two going on another date, so to speak?
Maybe. I think we would have to discuss that. And then there's always a possibility of another kind of feel out session, like what we did on the 4th.
So you like to feel what you did again, or
here we go.
I mean, I'm just asking. You said
good for you though, because I wouldn't go on a blind date. I would not go on a blind date.
She has to be amicable to it as well. Obviously,
that's true. That's very true. So we would have to figure that out and
okay,
see if she would want to do that.
Okay,
that's good that it went well.
Yeah, good job by Cody Stutes.
I'm telling you, like Nick, like if I don't, I think if Cody and his friend weren't there. I would be a little bit more nervous about just going on a random
just
meeting one random person. Yeah.
Okay.
Fair point.
All right.
I think Cody would make you feel a little bit more comfortable about the situation.
Yeah.
I mean, and he clearly likes you and hates us because he ditched us. Yeah,
I was
going
to say kudos for Cody on that, but not kudos for Cody on what he did to us today. But good to have you here, Nicholas. The one other thing I was going to mention from the Kentucky Derby, I don't know if you guys caught this or not, but, you know, Tom Brady did the whole thing where he threw a football through Matt Damon's window on Jimmy Fallon the other night.
I didn't see it, but
yeah, because there's a big, long-standing fake fight going on between Fallon and Matt Damon.
Okay.
So they walk up to a random window, and he says, "Hey, Tom, you think you could throw a football through that bedroom window up there?" And Tom's like, "Yeah, I think I could do it." And he's like, "One throw?" Yeah, and whenever they cook. And Brady throws the football through the window, and then all of a sudden flying out the front door comes Matt Damon, like, you know, bro, you just... So they're at the Derby, and I guess, we talked about this a little bit on Friday, and we even said when D'Angelo Russell was traveling when he got caught with weed that he was going to Louisville. It wasn't, like, on a layover. He was probably going... The Derby has become this huge thing for athletes.
I gotta go.
So,
I really...
like, Aaron Rodgers and ex and current Packers teammates had one big area suite parties. They did all that. The Patriots...
Belichick there at one
He
point.
May have been.
Or he was at some of the... Maybe he was at the racetrack on Friday.
And with the amount of people that he knows now, too, and from a prestige standpoint, I'm sure a lot of people wanted Bill Belichick there. But then Brady got all the Patriot guys together. And they went, and then this video surfaced after the race. I don't know if you guys saw this or not, but they're all pretty liquored up. And Danny Amendola's there with Brady, and they were talking about the whole skit that Brady did. Well, Amendola's got one of these like autograph footballs that's like half the size of a real football. It's got the white panel on it, so you know it doesn't really spiral or fly right, but he's liquored up. And he's like, "Bro, I mean, how difficult can it be?" See, and they see this like two-story building with a big bay window, and he's like, "I could put that window out right there." Brady's like, "Oh, really?" And Brady's just egging him on. And Brady doesn't sound nearly as drunk as Amendola. And he's like, "How much? How much?" Brady goes, $100,000. He's like, "All right, you're on." And not to mention the fact that when Brady did it in the skit, he's probably 20 feet away or 25 feet away from like the house to throw it. There's a good 40 yards, 30 to 40 yards between where Amendola is in like a parking lot and this building. He throws this like half-assed plastic football, doesn't even come close, and they all start laughing. Somebody goes, "Double or nothing, double or nothing." And Brady's like, "You owe me $100,000. Now, I doubt people are making a big deal, like, because Danny Amendola doesn't have Brady money. I'm sure Brady's not going to make a deal of it, but it's like you could tell they had a hell of a party at the Derby.
I need to go because that I always hear that about athletes, and I didn't know, I knew it was a big deal from like a fan perspective alone. I didn't know like athletes.
Oh, dude, oh, they
the
say
athletes are huge. Okay. So before I left to do this Cinco thing, I was watching the TV at my house before I left, and they had interviewed some random person, like some fan, who had been planning a Kentucky Derby trip with her family for 3 years.
Yeah. Wow.
It's like
and then it finally like all came to fruition.
It's like they say the drinking and the aspect that you kind of weed out a lot of people because of the fact that, you know, you have to dress up and the women wear these big hats. So it's kind of like a fancy drunk, but they said that the booze is fantastic. The atmosphere is fantastic. The races are fun, but that all the athletes are doing it. And they say it's a bucket list. They, you know, everybody has their own bucket list, but they say in terms of like a sports bucket list, and I never thought this way, but they said that you got to put the Derby on one of you. You have to do it one time. And I've heard that from a lot of my friends and others too that have gone. Some of them into horse racing, most of them not, but they said just for the party atmosphere, you got to go.
And now that the possibility of a horse winning a triple crown has apparently increased over the past 3 or 4 years, it makes it even that more attractive.
If you bet horse, I don't think a lot of people give a rat's ass about the horses. I think they just want to get dressed up, get liquored up.
That's probably true.
And see hot people that they might be able to hook up with.
Right. I mean, I just think it adds to the effect when you have like a story like that behind it, you know.
Obviously. Tyler, you put Masters on your bucket list?
To go, oh, I would.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, you?
I'm not even a golfer. Yeah, I would totally go. Yeah, I've only heard great things about the Masters.
Masters, Kentucky, outside of the big core championships, like obviously World Series, NBA Finals, Super Bowl, they say that the Masters and the Kentucky Derby have to be way up there.
Yeah, I would have. I mean, even that video, was it Phil Mickelson who made that video and he was on that one street?
The drive-in on Magnolia Lane.
Magnolia Lane. Yeah. I've heard so much about Magnolia Lane alone. I'm excited for Magnolia, just to see Magnolia Lane, and that's just leading up to the course.
And I'm telling you right now, like I said, I went once in 2008, and it literally, whether you're a golf fan or not, it is an awesome experience. It is the natural beauty that's around the course and everything like that is phenomenal. But you also have guys that are still going to be D-bags. Because, like, at that time, Rory Sabatini.
Because it's a bougie event, let's be real.
But both of them are.
Kentucky Derby, too, I would imagine.
But, like, even the players. So most of the golfers, they respect the history and all the different things that go into this course and all the different things like that. And then you get guys like Rory Sabatini, who I've heard has finally matured. But Rory Sabatini didn't make the cut, and he had one of those big Harley pickup trucks. And he was so mad he didn't make the cut, he stormed out to his truck. Burnt rubber all over the parking lot and then was going like 90 down Magnolia Lane with the stereo blasting full blown. And everybody was just like, who's that douche? And it was like, that's Rory Sabatini. He didn't make the cut. I mean, they're still in every crowd. You're going to get them. It's just the way it is. All right, we're going to continue to roll. I still got plenty to get to in the final half hour of the show. And if there's something on your mind you want to get off your chest, well, why don't you join us? 713-780-3776, HRNP listener line. You can call that number, text that number, or you can hit us on Twitter. 30 on the clock. Back with more in just mere seconds. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN. 97.5.
I assumed you knew.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Welcome back. Final half hour. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Nick in for Barry. Tyler in for Nick. Don't worry about it. Just follow it. It's the Usual Suspects on a Monday. Full crew will be back tomorrow as Barry returns from El Paso after he did some comedy there over the weekend. I teased it, so I've got to please the listeners and give them this information. Detectives in the Robert Kraft case have had to testify, quote, he had fingers in his butt crack in their testimony during...
Robert Kraft had his own fingers in his own butt crack?
So according to the Jupiter Police Department, they're really out to get Robert Kraft. Earlier this year, as we know, the Patriots owner arrested on charges of soliciting a prostitute, charges he denies vehemently. But the police department had threatened to release a tape that shows an Asian masseuse and Kraft performing sexual acts, which is something Kraft is fighting adamantly. We know daily we get another update on whether or not the tape will be released. Barry said he's watching it. I'm not. I don't know about you.
The video?
Yep.
I'll watch it. I don't care.
I bet you will. Okay. But with that being said, during Thursday's hearing regarding the case, Jupiter Police Department Detective Daniel Hirsch testified on the case, and he revealed some graphic stuff that the supposedly shown on the tape.
So he went by, so the Florida detective, his name is Andrew Sharp, and he went by what a quote-unquote boxer short rule. And so here's what he said. Quote, if they kept their boxer shorts on, then it was more than likely, no illicit activity was going to occur. Mm-hmm. When you go into one of these places and get completely naked, it's a sign you're a commercial sex purchaser. So he's okay. Making the argument that he's pretty certain that Robert Kraft got completely naked.
That's your guy, okay? Now, my guy that took the stand today to testify from the Jupiter Police Department, Detective Hirsch, who I mentioned, he testifies now under oath that those viewing the video footage live took notice when the masseuses, two of them, began, quote, putting fingers into the butt crack area before the lights went out on old Bobby Kraft.
Oh, okay. He likes it like that.
Yeah.
Oh, I did not know that. I probably shouldn't have known that, but that's crazy.
Evidently, they were checking the doorbell before they went in the back door, if you know what I mean.
Oh, how embarrassing is that? How do you walk back into the locker room with all the guys knowing that you liked it? Oh, my goodness. Well, Nick, I had no idea.
Nick, based on what he's into, which we don't know, but we can only assume by what we're reading here, he might be in the locker room a little too much anyway, and maybe that's enough to keep him out. You don't know.
You know, even if it wasn't, you know, even if it wasn't legal to release the footage, I feel like it would have eventually made the internet anyway. You weren't hiding that. Robert Kraft, the owner of the New England Patriots, who've won how many Super Bowls in the past how many years? Of course that was going to make it to the internet. You weren't going to hide that from the internet.
The other thing I find interesting is because as hard as they have fought this whole thing about keeping this videotape from getting out, this story is not making them happy either. Because when I found the article on Busted Coverage this morning, I gave you guys access to it in case we wanted to refer to it. Well, by the time we hit the air, the page had been removed and was no longer found. So then I decided to Google it. And on several other of the more rumor-driven sites where this information was pertinent, it had also been removed.
I bet you'll resurface on Reddit like time and time again. Reddit is usually the spot where you can find basically everything.
Oh, I don't think there's any doubt it's going to resurface.
Yeah. But I mean, there's nothing he can do about it. It's too late. I mean, you do what you can. You use the resources that you have to keep it off the internet. And I would imagine someone like Robert Kraft has the resources.
Oh, I'm sure he does.
And he still wasn't able to get it keep it from the public eye. So,
but is he willing to spend it? Because here's my question. If he was only spending $59.99 or whatever they said, it was close to $60 per visit to get the happy ending that he got, then is he really going to be willing to spend exorbitant amount of money to make sure that we all don't see how happy he was?
I mean, damage control costs money, and I would imagine he would want to, because he had a $100,000 donation that a charity rejected. Like, this is affecting his relationships. Whether he's going to lose a whole bunch of sponsors or not, it's still going to affect the relationship. So it makes sense for him to make the investment and try to keep this from getting worse than it already is. I don't know if you can at this point with the video being public.
It hasn't been public yet.
Or, I mean, with the potential possibility of it being public, but like, I mean, yeah, I have the money. I would do whatever I can to keep that off the internet.
The bigger thing to me is the fact that when we saw what Jim Irsay went through and once he got rung up, the fine, and it wasn't just the suspension, but the fine that he had to incur as the owner of the Colts for drug possession and driving, all that stuff. I think Robert Kraft realizes no matter how much so far he's gotten off light with all the costs, the suspension is one thing, but the league's going to probably ding him pretty good fine-wise if this gets to that point. So he's trying to, one, keep the video from surfacing so that there's no proof, and two, fight it as hard and as long as he has to make sure that he doesn't get any charges, still a bad look.
Yeah, it's a terrible look. It's a terrible look, and it's probably going to carry on for most of the offseason. I mean, they're going to probably circle back to this story for the upcoming months. And I would imagine going into the regular season.
And you speak of the locker room. Believe me, we already said the locker room isn't PC. Regardless of
whether
the video gets out or
they're making fun of them 100%.
The jokes are coming, and they ain't going to stop. Oh. Especially it's from the guys that he can't afford to lose as opposed to guys on the fence from making the team or not. But you know Brady and the boys are going to have – and if Gronk was still there,
Gronk
would have no scruples about just drilling him on that.
I would, too. I mean, I don't know if they're doing it – you think they're not making fun of him to his face.
I think they are. I think Tom Brady would.
Tom Brady, okay.
I think Gronkowski would. Think about the best players on the Patriots. And if you add a guy like Michael Bennett in the offseason, the Bennett brothers are outspoken as all get out. I don't think that he would hold back.
How embarrassing is that if you're the boss and the owner of a team and you're getting punked by your employees because you got caught going to... That's so funny to me. I would love to hear the jokes in the locker room.
I'm sure I'm sure he's going to catch plenty on that. That's why I said he's probably going to stay out of the locker room as opposed to years past when he was probably in there a lot. Speaking of the NFL, I mentioned this too, so we'll get to this as well as we're running short on some time. But starting tomorrow, in case you didn't know, free agent signings no longer count against a team's compensatory pick formula. Leading up to tomorrow, any free agent signed compensatory picks would have to be made available to the team that lost the player. Therefore, you look at signings like Kareem Jackson. That when he left, and then the Texans are eligible for compensatory picks. Starting tomorrow, that goes away. So if you sign a free agent, there's no ramifications to the team that lost the player. And the list has come out. A lot of defensive players still on that list. Starting with Ziggy Ansah, the defensive lineman from the Lions, 30 years old. Had some visits with the Seahawks and others, so there's been some interest. So maybe that now entices the team to sign him. Ndamukong Suh, I saw him last night sitting courtside at the Blazer game. He's from Portland. And I thought, I wonder where he signed. So I looked it up, Googled it, realized he's still out there. In fact, he hasn't even had a visit yet. So there's a team, or there's a guy that teams will be interested in They know that whether they have to pay a lot of money or not, that's to be worked out. But they won't lose any kind of picks trying to get a guy that might help them in their defensive line short-term and or long-term. So we'll see how that goes. Zach Brown, a linebacker. Is under 30, and so he'll have some people interested in him. Eric Berry, the safety from the Chiefs, who once the Honey Badger signed there became expendable, has had some health issues, as we know, but he's available. Another safety, Trey Boston, is out there. Here's one that I mentioned back when we were talking about the Texans and pre-draft and pre-free agency. He's still out there. Offensive tackle Donald Penn, who was once an all-pro with the Raiders. There's a guy that, especially if they're looking at the Texans, we know are looking at short-term deals, low money, possibly high gain if the guys can get back to form. They should take a look and at least bring in for an interview one Donald Penn.
The stories that I read is that he won't be cheap despite being 35 and the fact that he only played what? Didn't he only play like a portion of a season last year?
I think he was a little dinged up. He and Gruden, he's always had financial issues that he was upset the team didn't take care of.
Uh-huh.
So we'll see what happens with him.
Mm-hmm.
But that'll be an interesting one for the Texans. Another one, Michael Crabtree, because we know that you're still worried about the health of Will Fuller. We know that Kiki Kuti in the slot hasn't been able to stay healthy. And the good thing about Crabtree, say what you want, but he shows up. He ends up playing a lot. He's durable. He had another 1,000-yard campaign. He's been out there. He's been a journeyman. But as a veteran receiver on the opposite side of D-Hop, might be a guy that you want to look at.
Yeah, I mean, he probably won't be that number one guy. He was a 1,000-yard guy.
And you don't need him to be with D-Hop.
Right. Well, because I don't think he's had a 1,000-yard season since, I don't know, since when. But he's had a good season. You can use him as a number two or number three.
Yes,
and you're right. With D-Hop on the roster, it'd be a good addition.
Well, last year, I believe...
Or something to consider at the very minimum.
Was he in Baltimore last year? I know he's kicked around with a lot of teams. He was Raiders before that. But I'm interested to see what his stats looked like. We'll get those after the break. Because it would be interesting to see, you know, what he has done. Because obviously he still has some speed. But I'm just curious to see what he still has left in the tank in terms of being able to play a full season and all those kind of things. So we can look at
607 yards. 54 receptions, 607 yards in 18. He had about the same in 17. 16 was his last 1,000 yard year. He had 1,000.
And I'm not necessarily saying you need 1,000 yards, but if he can be a healthy version of Demaryius Thomas for you, I'd at least, again, and if you get him on the cheap, I'd kick
it's
the tires. Some,
yeah, it's something I'd consider for sure.
Other than that, on the list, mostly defensive players you don't need on the D-line. So I just thought I'd throw that out there for you guys. The other thing I'm going to throw out there for you guys is something that I did about 2 years ago. I switched to Infuse Energy, and you can too. CEO Josh Pesikoff and his staff, locally owned and operated, are all about getting you the best energy rate and the best plan they possibly can. And they're going to take care of you, be 100% honest the entire time, and they're going to teach you that you can trust them no matter what the deal may be. Because, you know, you deal with so many different businesses that you, when you need services for your family, for your business, and a lot of times you know that the other side, they're just trying to make a buck. You just need the service. So there's not a lot of this back and forth where you get to build a relationship. Well, that's what you can do with the people at Infuse Energy, because Josh and his staff make sure they ask you questions. When you call, you don't get an automated system. You get a human being, and they go through and they listen to you and ask questions so they know, is it for a business or your family? When do you use energy the most? When you use it for the least? Weekends, weeknights, and they tailor make a program for you. They give you a rate and a program, and they tell you that it's a great deal, and they show it to you too, because they can bring the numbers that actually back it up. The bigger thing is, if there's someone out there that on the random case can beat their rate and their deal, they're going to let you know that too, because they're 100% honest and they're only there to help. Check them out. Just don't take it from me. Actually, do the research. 844-INFUSE2, 844-463-8732, or you can log on to infuseenergy.com. Right off the top, if you mention ESPN 97.5, you get a $25 bill credit, and they go from there. It's also 100% green energy at your fingertips, but more importantly, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Infuse energy into your life.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, here we go. Final segment of the show. Appreciate you being a suspect on a Monday right here. A fun day on ESPN 97.5. Tyler, Nick, and myself. Barry will be back tomorrow as he makes the long drive from El Paso along with John Wessling. They were doing some comedy over the weekend. They should be back, so Barry will be back in the seat tomorrow. But appreciate Nicholas, of course, keeping it warm and having some fun on the show.
And I got to give a shout out to another Tyler. Yep. We got to give a shout out to Tyler behind the glass for stepping in, but also Tyler McKee, who is a listener of The Usual Suspects, and I think other shows on ESPN 97.5, who I got into a little Twitter spat, but he gave me a In-N-Out gift card, which will not be forgotten. So thank you very much, Tyler McKee. Greatly appreciate it.
He also said you were right, which doesn't happen often. Yeah, you have it in writing.
Yeah, he gave me a card and he signed it, your favorite delusional fan, Tyler McKee. So Tyler and I got into it about
the Chris Paul thing, right?
Yeah, on Twitter, and whether or not Chris Paul was actually upset. But no, I like having these. I'm welcoming a lot more of these Twitter battles. At first, I wasn't.
Well, you went from one end to the deep end in a hurry.
Yeah,
we all did.
Twitter can kind of do that. Twitter can kind of be the devil sometimes.
Yeah.
So you got to be careful with Twitter. Twitter actually did an update. You can now retweet and add a GIF, which is something you could not have done before. I don't know if you know about that. I know you're big on the Twitter, right? You know about the GIFs and the GIFs, right?
No.
No? Well, before,
I know what they are, but I didn't know that you couldn't, you couldn't retweet one of them?
You can't retweet with a GIF. You couldn't before.
Okay.
If you want to tweet a GIF, that's fine. You can just, pick one from the library or archive that Twitter has on their platform and tweet out whatever you want. But before, you couldn't, retweet or quote tweet. Mm-hmm. A GIF, and now you can do that, which is, that's a big deal in the Twitter world. A big, big deal.
Okay.
You probably don't care.
I don't.
I can tell from the way you're reacting to me right now. Tyler, do you find that to be a big deal?
Tyler's an expert.
I did not. I just tried it, and it hasn't updated yet for me, so.
Oh, I think it's not going to be universally ready for all users. It did say it was supposed to start
testing or something.
It's supposed to be only available for a portion of the users today. Starting,
it was whenever they doubled the character amount.
Yes.
For certain people,
from 140 to 280 or whatever it was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Someone corrected me. Kimmel, not Fallon. Fallon can't do pranks, yeah. They said, because he laughs through everything, which is true. It does. I like Jimmy Fallon better than Jimmy Kimmel, but Jimmy Fallon does giggle a lot.
I didn't like the way he interviewed his guests at first. I think he's evolved in that department, too. I felt like he was a poor interviewer.
Okay.
And to a certain extent, I don't necessarily like the way he asks questions. And he does make a good point. He tends to laugh too much.
He does.
Yeah. He does tend to laugh through like his own jokes and stuff like that.
Right. I mentioned this at the start of the show, but today seems to be sports team visit the White House Day and sportsmen. Tiger Woods is supposed to be there. He's also going to receive the Medal of Freedom, the highest honor that a civilian can get. And Donald Trump is basing that on his Masters victory. Look, you know, you guys know I'm a golf fan. I'm a Tiger fan. I was happy he won it. But I'm not exactly sure that he deserves that distinction and that honor for some of the ways he's handled the rest of his just everyday life.
Yeah.
You know, when you throw the 9-iron, the ex-wife, and a hydrant into the mix, I'm not sure he deserves any Medal of Honor from the White House. And you know what? The other thing I was going to ask you, because the Red Sox were there, and then he also honored, I believe, Army, and said that because they won the game against Navy this year, the Army-Navy game, I think it was, and he said he's considering waiving if there's top prospects on Army and Navy and in the military, the Air Force, that are good enough to play in the NFL. He's waiving the fact that they would have to do, he's considering waiving the service they would have to do before. Because, you know, even if they're good enough to play, they have to fill out their commitment to their line.
Oh, okay.
To their service.
I think that's kind of a cool thing.
He's thinking about waiving that so they can go to the NFL if they want. But then the Red Sox and Alex Cora make a stand as they're going, but not all in unity, as Alex Cora is not going because he's a native of Puerto Rico and he still feels like the country has a long way to go. He's not very pleased with the way Trump has handled everything in terms of being there to support Puerto Rico. So he's not going. And others have also said that they're not going to go, including Mookie Betts, David Price, Rafael Devers, Jackie Bradley Jr., Hector Velasquez, and Sandy Leone for different reasons. So my big thing was, are you feeding Tiger fast food? Because, you know, his big thing now, Trump's big thing is whenever the teams go, it started with the college kids, but he's making this thing where instead of the big elaborate dinners they've had in the past and the food, that they're getting pizza and burgers and fries and all that stuff. I don't think you're feeding Tiger Woods burgers and fries. Your boys on the golf course and all that other, they've played together several times. I'm interested.
He wants some filet mignon or something like that, I would imagine. Nothing, no fast food like that. And from what I heard, or at least from what the story said, the McDonald's that Trump gave those college basketball kids were like...
It was cold,
right? Like stale and dry.
Clemson. Yeah. They gave Clemson, too. And the linemen and all those guys were like eating the sandwiches anyway, but they said most of it was cold.
You're not doing that at Tiger Woods. You're right.
Yeah, I don't... I just don't see it happening that way.
Unless he wants some Waffle House. That's probably the only thing, right? Because he loved... I mean, that's where he picked up...
Well, he got the waitress, right? Or whoever it was, the hostess?
No, it was Perkins. It was a Perkins waitress.
Was it?
Yeah.
It was?
Yeah. I know that there's a website out there where they literally now will show you the many women of Tiger Woods' foray into infidelity and otherwise. And I got to tell you, I didn't know they were that many.
Oh, there was an enormous amount, just an enormous amount of them. I bet you that was something that was used as clickbait. Like, here's all the women that Tiger Woods has been through, and then you have to click next picture. Like,
you're right. Absolutely right. But you know what, Tyler? Some of them were hot. Some of them were cute.
You know?
And some of them were maybe not even that good.
But people think that just because you have money, you're only sleeping with hot women. And it's so not true.
But if you look at Rachel Yucatel and some of the other ones, some of the early on ones, you're like, whoa, bro, you obviously have a type and you're getting it done pretty good. And then you start looking at it going, then there's some that are maybe I don't know.
But he's not making the not so attractive ones public. He's making the hot ones public. Let's be real.
Was the waitress at Perkins hot, Tyler? I don't remember.
I don't think he was tweeting that out, though. She wasn't. But he wasn't tweeting that out. It was like websites like TMZ that revealed all that stuff, you know?
Yeah.
I remember
Lindsay
having
Lindsay Vonn, hot or not? Lindsay Vonn's pretty hot.
I'll put her in the hot category in terms of his... I don't think she's that hot. But I would put her in that category of, okay, she's hot enough. Or like... Because like, if you compare her to like the Waffle or the Perkins, it's like waitress, it's like night and day.
Like, I think Elon's hotter than Lindsay Vonn.
I would agree with that.
I would agree with that too.
And kind of the opposite you said about Steph Curry and some of the people in the NBA when you see him in person. When I went to Tiger Jam one year, which is his big charity deal in Vegas. One, Tiger, for as much as he works out, I mean, he is like rail thin. And they're both very small. Elin was very, very small.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. But I thought Rachel Yucatel might have been the best of the... And obviously, I think she's had some enhancements in then on her face and stuff she didn't need to do. But she was the one that was like the VIP hostess at one of the clubs in New York that ended up doing like reality TV and everything like that. But she was pretty good. But he dabbled porn star and otherwise. So
yeah.
I think it's like everything else. You get the good, you get the bad. The scope of things hopefully goes in your favor.
I think for every rich athlete, whatever, someone like Robert Kraft, yeah, they have a list of very attractive women that they've been with. But there's also a scary list, too.
Let's go back to what I just said about the scale of things. Because Robert Kraft's girlfriend that he had for a long time was younger and very attractive lady. Blonde hair, blue eyes, and everything like that, that he was always publicly with. If you've seen the pictures of the two at the massage parlor, mm-hmm. that's the other end of the spectrum, fellas. And it's not even about the fingers in the butt crack before the lights go out, if you know what I mean. All right, so that'll about do it for us. We are going to wrap things up here, but our day is not done because your day is not done, which means ESPN 97.5 is going to have the best in the business coming up next. It's Aaron, it's Fred, it's AJ, it's the Blitz. They'll take you till 7. We'll take the night off and see you again same time tomorrow right here on The Usual Suspects. For Tyler and Nick, I'm Joel. Have a great night, everybody. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Sports is ESPN 97.5.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.